And it's often a struggle. Yet in the midst of it, we hear God's word to us over and over again about what we are to do. So I'm quite excited about this passage this morning. Been sitting in it all week, and just it is a marvelous and very encouraging passage if we listen. So I think it's very, very relevant to each one of our situations. And we need to just come before the Lord humbly and listen to his word and how it applies to our life this morning. And not just this morning, but how it applies to our lives. So let's join our hearts together in prayer in that kind of a spirit before the Lord. Father, we come to you as very fragile people, broken people. We acknowledge that we are not God, that we are sinners, and we drift into our own way of thinking and think that our own wisdom is often way better than yours. But Lord, we acknowledge that, and we say, Lord, please change us, change our thinking. Bring us into your reality, that we hang on to your reality and that your will becomes our will. Lord, change us. We need your work in our lives. Connect the dots straight to our lives this morning, Father. May we have ears to listen and eyes to see how your word speaks into our lives. Come, Lord Jesus, glorify yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's quite probable that we've all had moments where we think everything is falling apart, that those steady, unmovable foundations that we've grown to depend on are destroyed by evil, that they don't exist anymore, that everything's just falling apart. You know, we have examples in our culture all over the place. You know, abortion is promoted as health care and women's rights. Marijuana is promoted as innocent and moving towards legalization. Homosexuality and gender confusion is celebrated. Viewing pornography has become the norm. And in the news, all these fearful situations before us, like yesterday in London again, with the message that our safety is questionable. We live in a fallen world. The effects of sin are everywhere, including, of course, in us. You know, perhaps we've been really healthy and now that's all falling apart. Or our foundation, the foundation to our marriage, or the relationship with our children or with our parents, it's wrecked. It seems unsalvageable. The foundation on which we could count on has disappeared or is disappearing one way or another at the hands of evil. And when we believe that, when we believe that the very foundation is destroyed or being destroyed, we have no hope. We have no hope for good, for anything good to happen. Hope is replaced with fear. We become hopeless and very fearful of what's going on. That's the broader context of Psalm chapter 11 that David is in. As usual, he's got some kind of a hard situation going on, life and death situation happening for David and for his people. Wickedness is succeeding against them, and it seems like all is lost. The very foundation is destroyed. It's broken. It's finished. But David doesn't see it that way. In verse 1 to 3, In the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to my soul, flee like a bird to your mountain? For behold, the wicked bend the bow. They have fitted their arrow to the string to shoot in the dark at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The foundations are destroyed. What can the righteous do? So here we have David, who is dumbfounded by the advice that he is hearing. Advice possibly given to him by friends in their situation where it seems like the foundations are falling apart and everything is just falling apart. Here, David is responding to this advice that he's been given, and he says, how can you say to my soul? How can you speak this way? How can you believe this? How can you buy into this kind of thinking? The counsel David received was, be scared, be worried, take action, flee for your life. Fly away from this place, this situation. Abandon the call, the work God has given you, because the wicked are strong and the wicked, they have won. They hate the righteous, and right now they're coming after you with their weapons to do you harm. They're taking aim at you, strategizing, looking for your weak spot, aiming for it, hiding in the dark to take shots at you, to take you down. They will destroy your foundation, your footing, what you are standing on. There is nothing you can do. You're finished. That's it. Call it quits. Run to the hills. This is it. This is it. From David's words, we see that's the advice that he is getting about the situation that they find themselves in. That's the advice. It's the same kind of advice that Jesus faced when he was encountering trouble. It was the same kind of advice of abandoning God. In Luke chapter 13, verse 31, the Pharisees told him to flee the area because Herod wanted to kill him. So get out of here, Jesus. Herod wants you dead. John 11, verse 7 to 8, the disciples were questioning Jesus and his decision to go to an area where the Jews wanted to kill him. Don't go to that area, Jesus. The Jews want you dead over there. Run the other way. In Matthew 16, verse 22 to 23, when Jesus told his disciples that he would be killed, Peter said, no way, Lord, not you. In Peter's way, he was telling Jesus to go a different route than death. It's this advice of give up. It's too difficult. Evil is too powerful. Forget what you're doing. Save yourself. Run. Jesus shot down that advice, as did David. And David was shocked with this kind of thinking of abandoning God and not trusting God, instead running to the hills for safety. It's a flesh-driven human reflex response. If there is some kind of danger, run the other way. If evil shows up, quit and get out of there. But the Lord has called all of us, all of his kids, all the people that he has saved, he has put a call on our lives. In Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16, we are to be salt and light in this world for the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, it's a passage I bring up over and over again. It says, in all situations, at all time, we are to do all for the Lord. In Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20, we are called to go and proclaim the message of Jesus Christ and make disciples. Those that are saved by Jesus Christ are to lay down our will and offer our lives as worship to the Lord, obeying and enjoying Him above all else. We are to promote what God loves. He loves marriage between a man and a woman. He loves babies who are still in the womb. He loves when men are men and women are women. He loves the speaking of the gospel. He loves that Jesus is the only way to salvation. He loves sacrificing and doing without in order to help others. He loves his children being in the world but not of the world. He loves it when his kids discern popular Christian celebrities to see if their message is biblical. When things don't go well, we are tempted to abandon that call from God, opting for personal safety and some comfort. You know, if I live the way God calls me to live, my safety will be in jeopardy in some way, or my social life, or my work life, or my community life. It won't be comfortable. And maybe that's how some of us are living right now. We have run to the mountains. You've abandoned God's call on your life. You stick to yourself and you don't engage with your neighbors. You don't live for the Lord at work. You don't engage in the work of the church family, but rather have reduced the Lord to coming to church on Sundays, and the rest of the week you entertain yourself and live for your own comfort and pleasure. Embracing God's call, it's just too hard. Or you don't want to get involved in that way of living. That way of living brings conflict, and you don't want that. Or perhaps you see how bad the world is and think it's hopeless and disengage from the world. Let it do its own thing, and you just keep your nose down and mind your own business. Yet God's children cannot be His light in this dark world by fleeing to the mountains and running away and shutting down because of evil. David refused to run. He refused that advice. Starts right off the bat, Psalm 11, verse 1. In the Lord I take refuge. How can you say those things to me? The Lord is my safety. The Lord is my safety. We too must refuse that advice and that temptation to run. Why? Because withdrawing, fleeing, cocooning yourselves, running, however we do those things, comes from a heart that does not trust God, that he is unable to help his children stand against evil, that evil is just too much for him. Abandoning God's call on our lives is trusting ourselves and not trusting the Lord. Verses 4-7 is David's response to this advice, a response that we as God's children must also take. Verse 4, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes see, his eyelids test the children of man. The Lord tests the righteous, but his soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. Let him rain coals on the wicked. Fire and sulfur and a scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. The Lord is righteous and loves righteous deeds. Here is why David cannot believe he's hearing the advice he's given. The Lord is the Lord. This unbelief with its fear and running away is garbage. Why fear? The Lord is the Lord. And he is the refuge for God's people. The foundation has not been destroyed. It's not being shaken because God can't be destroyed. God can't be shaken. And he's our foundation. He is our hope. He's the source of all hope. He is the holy Lord in his temple, the only God in the only temple. And this is not referring to Solomon's temple because that thing wasn't built during David's time. God the Creator, the only God, his temple is in heaven and so is his throne. He is God. He is the Lord. He is the sovereign ruler over all. Unbelief goes in the opposite direction of the sovereign, loving God. Be scared. Take matters into your own hands. Flee for your life. Rethink what you heard in God's word. But that must be met with the Lord's truth, which is his temple and his home, they're in heaven. He rules over everything. And his eyes see everything. Everything that the evil do to the righteous. Everything that is thought and planned is seen by the only God and Lord. He pays close attention to everything. Nothing is hidden from him. Nothing can be done in secret. The wicked shooting arrows from the dark, he sees it all. And for the righteous, he tests them, proving their faith, strengthening their faith. As 1 Peter 1, verse 6 to 7 says, "Now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, which is more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Our faith in God is being purified by God, burning off the unbelief, burning off just words, burning off weak convictions, and creating genuine faith and trust in God. God builds up the faith of the righteous, which results in the wicked evil not being feared, because the redeemed see more and more clearly the sovereign God, who the Lord is, and how evil does not compare to the holy God. The Lord sees what the wicked do. His hatred is aimed at them. 1 Peter 3, verse 12 says, "His face is against those who do evil." God's wrath will be received by them. He poured down his wrath on Sodom and Gomorrah. He destroyed the wicked. And those that were wicked, those were actual people who, they were real people who he poured his anger and his wrath down as. They're as real as we are. This isn't metaphor, oh, he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and just burned buildings down. He destroyed the wicked. His judgment will come down on all the wicked. They will be destroyed from the earth and suffer eternal punishment for their sin. They will not receive his love like those found in Christ. So the righteous don't fear the wicked. They fear God and leave the vengeance to the Lord. Nothing anyone can do comes anywhere close to what is in store for the evil from the holy God. But for the righteous, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 says that no one has come close to imagining what it's going to be like in heaven with God. Psalm 11, verse 7 says, "The upright shall behold his face." That is an awesome verse. The upright shall behold his face. The fate of the righteous, the reward of the righteous, is being in the presence of the Lord for eternity, face to face. Seeing your loved ones who were born again through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, seeing those that have already died and are in heaven with the Lord right now, that will be nice, but it will be nothing compared to seeing and being face to face with the Lord. Church, we have a call from God on our lives. Each one of us who are saved have a call on our lives. We've been saved for the glory of God, to live and to worship the Lord. He didn't save us and then pull us into heaven right away. He saved us and left us here on earth. Why? To glorify him, to worship him in this world, to be in this world but not of this world, to have our lives point to him, to have our lives glorify the greatness and the beauty and the majesty of the King and Kings, King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are to go and make a big deal about the Lord Jesus Christ through our words and through our deeds, through our lives. It will be tough. we will suffer. Standing for the Lord, we will suffer. There's no way around it. You look at the way that our neighborhoods and our towns and our cities and province and country and the world is headed. It embraces sin, promotes sin, and us Christians look like idiots for what we're saying. We do. If you're trying really hard to look smart and not look like an idiot in this world, forget it. You're going to have to abandon Jesus. What we stand for looks like foolishness to a world that is embracing hell and promoting hell. There's no way around it. But the foundation, when we are suffering, if we're standing for the Lord and we're suffering, we're taking shots, we don't get jobs, we don't get friends, something goes astray for us, something goes not well for us because we're standing for Jesus Christ, the foundation isn't crumbling. The foundation is not falling apart and being destroyed. Don't take the counsel of evil that's around you, which is despair. Oh, it's hopeless. Oh, it's so hopeless. Oh, well, just abandon all that God has said and just live with your blinders on and just mind your own business. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. Why would we ever be scared and run and hide for our lives or play it safe and go along with the world? Because the wicked hate us and want to destroy us? Because things are hard? Look at the Lord. Meditate on the Lord. Don't meditate on the wicked and don't meditate on the hard and the suffering stuff. The wicked, they have plans and strategies to steal, kill, and destroy everything the Lord loves. And people fear the wicked. They fear evil as if evil rules freely and rules forever. But the wicked will receive God's judgment. They will receive God's judgment. Fear not, righteous ones. Fear not. God is God. God is God. The coming judgment of the Lord should make a difference to us today. The punishment of the wicked and the eternal life of the righteous is to make a difference today, here and now, in 2017, in Edgar's life. Matthew 10, verse 28, Jesus said, "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." You know, those words from Jesus were given to people right there, right in that time, and it was to make a difference in their lives right there, in that moment, in that time, immediately. You want to fear someone? Fear the one in control of your eternity. And keep going. And who do I belong to? I am found in Christ, covered with the blood of Jesus, forgiven by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I am in Christ. So fear the one who controls your eternity. Well, I belong to him. I'm safe. Why fear evil? The way of future thinking has been lost on us Christians. Today's world has done incredible things to speed up so much, to bring things instantly. So with health, operations and medication help us heal quicker. We can fly around the world instead of sitting on a ship for months and months. Instant messages sent around the world. Instant pictures sent around the world. Instant research. We are so instant, we are trained to get it and get it soon and get it now. To wait years or wait till we are dead for the wicked to be taken care of, that's difficult. When we are wronged, waiting till eternity for things to be made right is hard. When evil is doing something now, we want that stopped pretty quick. We want an arrest. We want a conviction. We want punishment handed out. We want the wrong to be righted. Waiting for the Lord to bring his judgment? Waiting? That is difficult. But we've got to retrain our minds, retrain our thinking with the Lord's word, the Lord's way. That's what Romans 12, verse 2 says. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Not being conformed to the pattern of the world of instant results. You don't have a right to instant results from the Lord. You don't. We have to confront our fear. We have to confront the evil in this world. We have to confront the wicked that we see, the wicked people that seem to be succeeding and overtaking whatever. We need to confront that with God's truth. We are to retrain our minds according to the reality of God. Why would I fear evil? Why would I run and hide? The Lord is the only God and creator and ruler over all. He hates evil and evildoers. They will receive his wrath. The wicked will be punished, and I'll be with the Lord face to face for eternity. That's the outcome. That's what's going to happen. That's the old news that is still the truth today. Amen. And therefore, I will not abandon what the Lord has called me to. I will live out my days glorifying the Lord. I'll be praying against evil, praying for God's goodness, following his word and loving people and doing all for his glory, telling people about Jesus, putting up with wrongdoing from the wicked, knowing that God will be taking care of it all. God will. I am preaching this to myself because I slip into giving up and feeling hopeless. Often it seems, especially when it comes and hits home. There's situations going on where I go, this is hopeless. This isn't going to change. Here it is. Just pull out, mind my own business, go this way. And then the Holy Spirit goes, who is the Lord? I hear scripture come to mind. The Lord is the Lord over everything. Well, what is it? Why am I fleeing from this bad situation? Why am I giving up when I see that evil is succeeding over here? Why am I doing that? Because it's uncomfortable being there, and I don't want to be there because it hurts. And Christians should be the toughest of the toughest. Why? Not because, I'm tough and I'll take you on. Nothing to do with that. But the Lord is the Lord. I belong to the Lord. Evil is running amok, but it must be in submission to the Lord. I belong to the Lord. I know the end of the story because the Lord speaks to us here and has told us the end of the story, that he is coming back and releasing his judgment on the wicked, and his kids will be with him in eternity. That is the end of the story. And it's playing in that direction. And I belong to the Lord. Why in the world would we run from evil? Why would we run? We're with the Lord. We are with the Lord. So church, take courage. Stand for Jesus. Stand for what Jesus stands for. Know God's word and promote God's word. Be Jesus' voice in all the situations you find yourself in. Yes, there's hot topics today having to do with gender and homosexuality and all of these different kinds of things. Be the Lord's voice in those circles. Be his voice. Don't be scared. Don't be scared to be embarrassed or that you're going to be the only one standing out for him. Stop waiting. Check what's underneath your waiting. Is it fear? Is it, I don't want to get into that kind of thing. That's kind of uncomfortable. I just want to keep and maintain this kind of life that I'm living right now. What is it? Confront it with God's truth. I'm not calling you us to be jerks out in the world and hold up placards saying like that those wing nuts down south, you know, gay people are going to hell. What use is that? That is ridiculous. I'm not calling us to that. I'm calling us to be in the world. Scripture is calling us to be in the world, loving people and promoting God's truth, bringing God's truth in all the situations that we come into, and not being scared, but trusting the Lord, not trusting ourselves. Church, we can do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been deposited in us. We can cling to God's promises. We belong to him. And we can do this. We can do this. Amen? Yeah. Bev, come here for a second, please. That song, All Hail King Jesus, we're going to sing it a cappella on the fly here, and I'm not leading you. So just... This is a perfect song. Listen to the words. This is our King. This is our Lord.
King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star, and for all eternity, I'm going to praise him, and forevermore, I will.
Amen. Father, thank you for revealing yourself to us. Thank you for your word that we can know your truth. We don't have to guess at your truth. We know your truth. You've given it to us in the Bible. It's objective truth. Thank you for revealing yourself to us. May we as a church family stand on your word, stand on who you have revealed yourself to be, and go into this world proclaiming you, standing for you, standing strong. When situations come into our families, into our lives, that we stand for you. We stand on the truth of who you are. We stand in the face of evil with the power of the living Christ. And we don't run and hide because we are with the Lord. We are not the wimps here. We are in the Lord, who is the King of kings and sovereign Lord over all. Father, may your truth penetrate our hearts and minds and result in us walking differently for you, humbly in your power, humbly in your word. Father, bless us in this way. Glorify yourself in this way. May we be your voice in every single circle that we are running in. Glorify yourself amongst us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We are going to celebrate communion now. Celebrate our position in Christ and what the Lord Jesus